On this episode of the Talking Bear Football Podcast, recorded Monday, September 7th, 2020, we recap the Bears' Week 2 game against West Liberty, this week's throwback game against Cascade, and much, much more. Week 3 of the Talking Bear Football Podcast,
right here on westbranchfootball.com.
It's upon us. This is the earliest we've had to talk about a loss in quite a while. But you know what? That's football, right, Steven?
That's football.
That's football. It happens once in a while. And we'll talk about the West Liberty-West Branch game from last Friday night. The Bears went on the road in that long, long-flavored and long-lasting rivalry and came up on the short end of the stick, 20-7, the final score. We brought a name up in the podcast, as well as our game preview with Steven, and you heard it from Coach Peterson, and probably read it in every single newspaper, the name Josiah Galvan. And boy, did that name come up a few times, I'm guessing, in your play-by-play last Friday night, Steven.
You figure it does a little bit when he does, what, 23-ish carries for 200 and almost 50 yards. A couple of touchdowns. Yeah, it was a lot what I expected from him in terms of don't let him get past that first level because you're going to be in trouble. But you also have to make sure that you wrap him up in that first level because he's not afraid to lower the shoulder. And we saw that. And unfortunately, the Comets were able to come up with a couple of big plays when they needed it and spelled the difference in that game Friday.
For West Liberty, I mean, on the offensive side, you know, just two words, Josiah Galvan. I really don't have much more to say there. But just in general, yeah, I give a lot of credit to West Liberty for this game. They won that game. I mean, well, duh, Matt, they won the game. They scored more points. No, I mean, they won that game. They went out there and won that game. Their defense really did a great job at all levels. The line with Kobe Simon generating pressure and creating a lot of stops. The linebackers able to create pressure as well as even do pass defense, you know, defensive backs, pass coverage, and with tackling too. Just really at all levels, the defense did a great job at stopping West Branch. And, you know, speaking of West Branch, you really couldn't quite get anything going on offense, you know, and the best drive all night that they had was right there at the end of the first half. And at that time, you know, kind of say, okay, well, we're getting some momentum here. We went down and scored right before the half. We get the ball to start that second half and three and out. And just nothing really ever materialized all night. And, you know, on the defensive side for West Branch, they did play pretty well. You know, outside of those few long plays that they gave up to Galvan, in general, I think they played pretty well, holding West Liberty to 20 points there, despite those big long big plays that West Liberty had. You know, but just in general, yeah, for West Branch, things just really couldn't materialize. You know, I don't like to put a large emphasis on one player, but Gavin being out, you know, obviously made a big difference.
I'm going to give you guys two numbers, and you tell me what the significance of them are. 267, 350. What's the significance of those two numbers, gentlemen?
Rushing yards and total yards allowed by the Bears.
Total yards, 267, were the total amount, total offense for Josiah Galvan. 350, total yards for West Liberty. Only 83 yards in 48 minutes of play by the other gentleman on the team. So yeah, you could say he's a very integral part of what the Comets do. 20-7, the final, Matt. Go ahead and break that down quarter by quarter.
Yeah, so scoring got started in the first quarter. West Liberty was first on the board with Josiah Galvan run for 65 yards. That was that first big play of the game. Extra point was good, so West Liberty up 7-0. Second quarter now, West Liberty extends their lead to 13-0 on a pass from Caleb Wolf to Lake Newton for about a 30-yard touchdown.
On a 4th-and-8.
Yeah, on a 4th-and-8, right. And the extra point was missed. And as I just mentioned a little bit ago, West Branch scored right before the end of the first half. Kelby Berger scores his first varsity touchdown on a 1-yard QB sneak.
Trey Schuette gets his first career assist on a touchdown as the center.
Cale Federland made the extra point there, so it was 13-7. And then the only other score of the night was in the third quarter. Wolf threw it to Galvan, and he went for a 40-yard touchdown. That put West Liberty up 20-7, and that's how we ended things.
Now, Stephen, here I want to tell you, maybe bring you in on this, and Matt, either one of you, it doesn't really matter. But you look at the 20-7, and you look at the scoring and how it broke down. But look at this. Look at your drive summary sheet, which I'm sure Stephen has right in front of him, and I'm sure Matt's pulling up right now if he doesn't already have it there. What happened on West Liberty's first possession of the first half of the game? First possession.
Second play of the game, they fumbled it.
West Branch got the ball with 40 yards to go to score and turned the ball over on downs. Score at halftime was what, Matt? 13-7?
Yep.
West Liberty had 13-7. Bears get the ball and they punt it. What happens to West Liberty on their first possession of the second half?
Interception.
So the Bears created two turnovers mm-hmm. to begin each half and unfortunately couldn't get anything to come to fruition from the offense that night. So in the end, what I'm trying to say is we're giving a lot of credit to Josiah Galvan and that West Liberty offense. How about really got to give some credit to that defense holding West Branch mm-hmm. to just, what, 145 yards of offense in 48 minutes?
That's what I said. Yep.
Man, that's pretty good.
Yep.
I think one of the keys was, I've kind of been thinking on this over the weekend, and Coach Peterson said it, we had a quick chat with him afterwards before he got on the bus, and he said, tonight our inexperience showed. And I think that was really telling, and it wasn't necessarily a knock on the team, and I don't see it as a negative thing. I just see it as, this is an opportunity for these guys to really grow from this experience, really learn from this experience, and realize, if we tackle just a little bit better, mm-hmm. if we block just a little bit better, if we just make that cut just a little bit better, just those little things, it's not like we got blown out of the water and didn't even deserve to be there. A little bit different here or there, and suddenly things are looking better. I think it's just a case of some of these guys need to say, I'm a varsity football player, not, oh my goodness, I'm a varsity football player. I think they just need to say that's me. I'm here. This is my job. I'm going to do this. And they've all got it within them. Coach Peterson and staff would not put them out there if they didn't think that they could do it, so they can. I think we just saw that a little bit Friday night of just some of that, they need just that little bit of confidence, that yeah. little bit of boost to be able to get them over the hump to be able to say, yeah, we deserve to be here. This is what we really should be doing.
And I think some of it's too, Coach Peterson, said the word maturity, and he doesn't mean it in a negative sense. He means it in a sense of getting some experience, taking these lumps and learning from it and growing from it, just maturing as a young person in life. And these are the things that help you do that. Maturing and poise and, all of those other words we like to use in football for these types of moments when you can learn and grow from them.
And usually in the second week of a season, if you have zero penalties and you have zero turnovers, you would have thought that you would have won a football game. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. that wasn't the case on Friday. And here's one more statistic. I think through two games, West Branch has seen their opponents combine for six total fourth down attempts to get a first down or whatever on a fourth down, their opponents have been successful on five of them. We need to start shoring those things up as we go forward.
Yeah.
And those are little stats that start to become big.
Where was that Friday night? Did you hear Quinny calling me out on that, Jason?
What's that?
He was asking me, what's West Liberty's conversion on third and fourth down percentage? And I'm like, geez, man, do you realize how many stats I put together? How do you want me to keep track of all of this?
How do you
stuff?
Not have that one, Stephen? Come on.
I mean, these are just, it's the number one stat. See, I don't have them until after the game. I just knew that they converted on all their fourth downs. I mean, one of them was a touchdown, for goodness sake.
And you can't have that. Yeah.
And another big play that I think may have been the backbreaker for me. When it was, what, third and 14 or third and 12 from about the 13-yard line? Steven, does that sound about right?
Yeah.
And they get a 14-yard run and a first and 10. That was, that for me may have been the key play, the backbreaker for the game at that point. I'm thinking, wow, may not be the Bears' night.
That's why I say, I mean, when you go back and look at it, yeah, it was a frustrating night, disappointing night for everybody in the program.
Right.
But there's also a lot of hope just because we are that close. If you stop them for a 12-yard gain on third and 13 or third and 14, yeah, you're getting the football back in pretty decent field position.
Pretty good shape, yeah.
If you make one or two tackles on a couple of those long runs, maybe you're getting the football back and you're only down 13-7 going into the fourth quarter. Or, yeah, you know, you're tied up 7-7. And so, you know, when you look at it, yeah, it was a bad taste Friday night, but great opportunities come from adversity. And so hopefully these guys are able to get that maturity that Matt talked about and be able to learn from it and grow from it and come out that much stronger this coming game.
And I hate to single one kid out, you know, in a game like this, but I really would like to point to the maturity and a guy that got thrown into some, got the opportunity to play in a football game, has not started a football game since his sophomore season in high school, now has to start a varsity football game at none other than the quarterback position, Kelby Berger. 12 of 19 for 77 yards. 77 yards doesn't sound like much, but the kid completes 63% of his passes, has zero interceptions. He's not a running quarterback. He's not the same kind of running quarterback that we've seen, maybe a Bo Cornwell and Cooper Koenig or Cooper Cobla or a Gavin Hirschman. But what he does is usually makes very good decisions. He's a very intelligent player. This kid doesn't, before the other night, wasn't even named a starter, but he was named a captain by his teammates because they see his leadership and the things that he can provide. And you know what? In the end, he did a pretty darn good job under the circumstances. So I'm going to give him credit for that.
I agree with that.
Amen.
Before we overhaul this podcast and excavate into the next situation, next game per se, being Cascade, let's hear from Barnhart's Custom Services.
Barnhart's Custom Services has been offering earth-moving services in the West Branch area for over 35 years. Bruce and Shelley Barnhart offer residential, commercial, farm, or industrial excavating. Barnhart's features GPS-controlled equipment for the fastest and most accurate grading of your projects. Barnhart's Custom Services, a proud supporter of the West Branch Bears. Like them on Facebook or call them at 643-7230.
We're going to move on now to the Cascade Cougars. What do I always say about this team, Matt? What do I always say about Cascade?
They have athletes.
They have athletes. They are 1-1 on the season. Lost their first game by a missed extra point attempt very late in that game to lose 28-27 to Monticello. Come back from being down 36-27 in the fourth quarter in week two to win 42-36 over an always challenging Maquoketa Valley club. So the Cougars are 1-1 coming into West Branch. And we start over as far as districts, guys. We go back to 0-0 as far as that's concerned. Or we are at 0-0. And yes, Cascade, when you play them, you better be willing and be ready, rather, to run around all over the field and chase athletes. We'll get into those stats here in just a minute. But 1-1 on the season, it's going to be senior night in West Branch at the Little Rose Bowl.
And game throwback.
Three night is senior night. And the throwback jerseys. Anything else?
Introducing youth sports 5th and 6th grade. I don't know.
I'm sure the announcer, whoever that might be,
you'll find
be
out.
A busy guy.
Yeah,
we're gonna find out.
Yep.
But here's what I want to talk about, just from looking at the stats and seeing a couple plays from Cascade. Then I'm gonna throw it over to you.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about West Branch's receivers and the depth of the receivers has been developed with Peyton Miller. Simon Palmer had a very good game last week against West Liberty. He had scored his only touchdown as a varsity football player on the first week of the season. Then you've got the Belk twins. They've got four or five receivers that Gavin or Kelby can feel comfortable throwing the ball in. Look at Cascade. They got five kids that average over 12 yards or more a reception. You talk about athletes and not even mentioning, well, we're going to mention it now. Mm-hmm. Throw in a running back that's averaging a first down every time he touches the football. Athletes at Cascade, go.
Yeah, Jack Minster is the guy you're talking about. And I mean, this, hopefully it's not deja vu of, last week two against West Liberty, but man, that kid, just a sophomore, he nearly 400 yards rushing this season already in five touchdowns. And on top of that, 60 yards receiving in one touchdown, you know, and just looking at tape and looking at stats, you know, a good bulk of their offense literally runs through.
I'm going to let the literally stand this time. Thank you. Because it actually works. Because
you know I use it correctly.
Yes, you will. You will. Yes.
Yes. It literally runs with Jack Minster. Just incredible watching that kid run. And yeah, that's scary that he's only a sophomore. But just looking at that, you know, they don't pass the ball much, but when they do, they are big plays. You know, Jason, you mentioned just the yards per catch averages of the six receivers that have caught balls this season. That's wild. Yeah, averaging a little over 17 yards a catch. that's scary because you lock in on Minster and boom, they'll hit you with the big pass play. And that's how they're scoring all of these points per game. I mean, just quick math in my head, that's like 33 points a game, something like that.
That's a lot of points.
31 points a game, something like that.
Do your math, and that's more than West Branch has scored on the season.
Right. But on the defensive side of the ball, they're giving up that many points a game on average as well. So that's something that West Branch is really going to have to take advantage of, because if they can't stop or if they can't score on Cascade will try and score on them. So I really don't want to be in a position with Cascade to where it's a, you know, 48-42 kind of ball game. Like, West Branch defense really needs to crack down, and West Branch offense really needs to take advantage of opportunities.
And Stephen, the neat or scary thing about this whole thing is when you look at their roster, the majority of the key performers that are coming at you, besides your quarterback, Jackson McAleer, I don't know if they call him Jack or not. Not Jack. Sorry. Take that back. Besides their quarterback, Justin Rowling. Okay. Or is it Rowling? Rowling?
Rowling, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a junior, though.
You've got a junior, but you've got sophomores that are very big performers. Sound familiar? Sounds like West Branch. But most of their key performers throw in the quarterback as a junior, and they're underclassmen. That's scary.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, though, you look at some of those names, and they're names that we saw last year as well. And that was a down year for Cascade. They were 3-6, I think it was. The year before, they were knocking right on the door of the playoffs. A couple years before that, they were a perennial playoff team. So, you know, maybe had just a little bit of a dip for a year or two, but they're trying to get things turned back around. You mentioned Justin Rowling, and I think back to him, you know, we were up there last year for week 8 or whatever it was. And Jackson McAleer, phenomenal athlete, great quarterback, and he gets dinged up,
right.
And they bring in Rowling, and, you know, he had a good strong arm, but he wasn't very accurate. Well, that's going to happen when you have a guy that hasn't played at that position. I mean, he was number 80-something, 84 or something like that, so he's been playing wide receiver. You're not used to taking snaps, so, you know, he was just up there chucking it around. Now this year, he's 16 out of 31. He's just over 50% completion percentage. And like you say, almost 18 yards per completion. Okay. He's got a couple of touchdowns. So, you know, obviously he put the work in the offseason. Some of these other younger guys that are, you know, stepping in and doing those things, you know, they've got 5 or 6 different guys that are consistently lining up at receiver, doing different things. They'll run the jet sweep. They'll run some different counter looks. You know, they're going to keep you honest in different ways if you try to only key on Minster. And that's because, like you say, Jason, these guys are athletes, and, you know, they're getting it through their head of what they need to do to perform.
And you talked about the speed of last week, and Galvan from last week, when you watch the film of that long run by Minster, hope I get it right, young man, guess what he's doing to the defense? He's pulling
away.
He's pulling away from them. So there's more speed. And the Bears are going to have to see it. I'm going to give you a couple more numbers because, you know, I'm a numbers guy. I love this number stuff. 452, 798. How about that? Correlation to what we were talking about earlier. Jackson McAleer has 452 total yards. The team Cascade
Jack has, Minster, you mean.
Jack Minster, sorry. My fault. Jack Minster has 452 total yards. The Cougars have 798. Do some quick math. 57%. 57% of the offense, total offense, has gone through this young man. The sophomore. He has 45 touches out of a possible 83. 56% of the touches have gone through him. So West Branch fans, West Branch football fans, and I'm sure the Cougars are going to be excited to see him touch the ball 56% of the time, because big things are going to happen.
Hope we don't see that Friday.
I hope not either. We'll move right into our picks to click format, but not before we hear from Touched by Power.
Touched by Power Massage Therapy offers you the chance to relax, refresh, rejuvenate, and heal. Featuring a variety of massage options plus spa services, licensed massage therapist Tracy Hartz can help your body feel better. Touched by Power is located on Main Street in the heart of downtown West Branch. Find the available treatments or book your next appointment by visiting touchedbypower.com or call 631-1214.
Well, picks to click. Last week, well, names matter not. The Bears didn't win, so none of us really clicked. But for this week, I'm going to go first. And normally we talk about who we think might be a key player in the game. For me this week, I'm going to go really off the page, and I want to give this kid a little shout out. His name's not going to be on the scoreboard, probably. He's probably not going to get his name in the paper, but he shows up every single day for practice and offers what he has with his skill set and gives the team a look from the scout team, and he shows up and gives his all. That's the Bulldog, Dylan Butler. He's my pick to click. Thank you, young man, for your contributions.
This week, I'm pulling one of the one-timers.
Yeah, I knew you would.
Yeah, Andy Henson.
All right, Hen Dog, gonna get in the end zone for the first time in varsity career this year. This week, I should say. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. Stephen Grace.
That is a good, good question.
That's why we're asking.
I can hear Justin Bieber in the background. I'm going to tell you one time. Hit up with a one-timer.
I got nothing. I got nothing for that, Jason. I'm sorry.
I don't have anything for that either.
I don't really either.
I think you do. So...
It's too late to say sorry, though.
Oh, no.
We are just off in the weeds right now. So far off in the weeds.
Yep.
I'm going to go with a guy that was kept somewhat in check this past week. I'm going to go with Peyton Miller.
Okay. I think
he's going to find a way to get back on track. And whether it's Gavin or if it's still Kelby, we'll see Peyton start to do some things and make some plays and hopefully lead to the Bears the victory.
And it'll make us all happy, because then, Steven, if you smile, I'll smile. Last Bieber reference for the day. You are. I know. He's a happy, happy guy. Okay. Well, let's wrap it up. We couldn't do a podcast. We couldn't do a Bearcast without all of our wonderful sponsors, Matt. And who are those sponsors?
The Talking Bear Football Podcast for the 2020 season is presented by Barnhart's Custom Services, Cornerstone Real Estate Consultants, Corridor Drywall, EMS Detergent Services, Fidelity Bank and Trust, the Fullwider Insurance Agency, Hodge Construction, the Hoover Presidential Foundation, Liberty Communications, Main Street Suites, Marcy Willier with Urban Acres Real Estate, Touched by Power, and the West Branch Times.
You know, Stephen, I would think by now we would have had a pre-recorded something in the can, but I just don't like it. I want you to do it live. We like you when you do it live. Tell us all about that. So that social medias, all those social medias and stuff.
I've never been a big pre-recorded guy. I like doing stuff live. I like the thrill of the moment.
Yeah.
So head on to Twitter, You can get some thrills by looking at Twitter because, you know, everybody's the an Twitter. Expert there.
Yep.
At WB Bears Football. The Instagram, that's where the kids are all leaning towards these days.
It's all for the gram. They love it.
At WB Bears Football. For those that are still there, head on to Facebook, click on the little search bar, and type the West Branch Football.
That's actually where most of our engagement comes from on social media.
The Facebook.
The Facebook.
Yes.
And then also, you know, if you like this, if you want to listen to us, go subscribe at your favorite podcast source. I particularly like Spotify myself because, you know, I'm not really an Apple guy all the time. Matt's an Apple guy. He likes Apple Podcasts.
I don't actually like Apple Podcasts. No. I use Overcast. Yeah.
Oh,
that's
don't?
Not on Android, though.
How dare you? Overcast. Okay. Jeez. So that's another one.
You need to go
it's
to bed.
That way all week, I think. So.
Yeah. But I'm bummed. Anyways, any of those podcast sources, subscribe, click like, follow, get the latest details. Matt always likes to put some different show notes in there as well. So
right here on WestBranchFootball.com.
Get via social media and listening to the Talking Bear Football podcast.
Yep. Take care, everyone.